Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of...
Legends Only.
My name is T. Kyle.
And I'm Bradley.
And this is your weekly pop culture podcast where we talk about...
Legends Only.
On a Monday, you were waiting.
On a Tuesday, you were streaming. And on Wednesday... We released this episode. Yeah.
On Wednesday, I was up all night watching the Ashley Simpson show on YouTube, literally.
For the past 48 hours, it's been nothing but YouTube. Thank you, Ashley Simpson Music, unofficial YouTube channel, by the way, for uploading all
don't
two seasons.
Them.
No, don't. Yeah, don't cancel them. But if, yeah, we'll get into it in just a second.
Yes, everyone. If you can't tell by the title, today
or our stained t-shirts.
Or our raspy vocals. Yeah. Oh, I don't know what that was. Today, we will be diving into the iconic, underrated, unappreciated, well, appreciated by us. Well, actually, a lot of people appreciate it. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Undiscovered album known as...
Number recently, one undiscovered album.
Yeah. Recently released on LP vinyl.
True.
By not sponsored Urban Outfitters. Ashley Simpson's autobiography. Yeah.
It's been a long time coming. Some would say that we've promised this deep dive for about a year. And here we are now. And we have a album to dive into, a reality TV show, memories of 2004, as traumatic as they will be, all coming back to us now. Put on your Old Navy jeans and your oversized belt and your, what was that, like the shirt that was like went down to the thigh? It was just unflattering.
A dress?
No, it was like, they all wear like the baby doll. Is it like the baby doll top? Is that what it's called?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. I think I know
halter
what you're talking
top?
About. Yeah.
Anyway, this is
jeans.
Not a fashion. This is not high fashion editorial right now, but
yeah.
Neither is that season for that matter. We'll get into it.
Well, speaking of high fashion, were you an Old Navy gay?
I wore the Old Navy flip-flops. I had a color in every pair. I wore them specifically through winter and through spring. I didn't give a
through
fuck.
Through college.
If it was, yeah. Yeah. And the jeans, you know, I had my bootcut moment. And the sandblasted, right?
Yeah.
Distressed look.
Can I confess something about flip-flops that is so tragic?
Oh, what?
I wore flip-flops all the way up until I was working in Times Square at MTV.
That actually is pretty close to where I was wearing flip-flops. I do remember coming into the city in flip-flops.
Oh. Yeah, like the photos from my 22nd birthday, I'm in flip-flops and a button-up.
Well, there were stains on your t-shirt and bruises on your feet.
Yeah, the soles of my feet.
Well, the lady of the evening that we're talking about preferred Converse shoes and definitely did not like heels.
No, she did not. All right, well, everyone get ready to live your 2004 fantasy.
Available now at Kohl's.
as we jump in.
Smells like Abercrombie and Fitch and bad hair gel.
Oh, hot. My type.
Yep.
All right. So on the subject of Ashley Simpson. So when did you first get into Ashley Simpson? When was she first on your radar? Like, tell me the Ashley Simpson journey for you.
For me, it would probably be because of how everybody discovered her, which was the Jessica Simpson phenomenon leading into Newlyweds, leading into the introduction of Ashley into our worlds, leading into the Ashley Simpson show. I would say that's probably where I was at with her. I know she was on Seventh Heaven like the year before that. I wasn't a Seventh Heaven gay, so I wasn't really checking for her. And as we know, as we've discussed on the Britney podcast, back then I was so deeply into my stand-up for Britney, I didn't see the other girls. I was not giving Christina, Jessica a moment of my time.
That's where we differ.
I know. But, you know, my allegiance was strong at the time. And yeah, but I had no ill will toward Ashley. I definitely remember tuning in for the show. How about you?
Same. When I was like, you know, diving back into the 04 era, I feel like when I was in elementary school, I was a TRL person because I would come home from school and it would just be on.
Yeah.
And then when I got my permit and I got my first car, which was like a piece of shit Honda that had no air conditioning and it had like mold in the back, iconic.
Yes.
This was like the reality TV era of like VH1, Celebrity, Flavor of Love, Making the Band, Ashley Simpson Show, Brooke Knows Best. Like, this was when reality TV was music heavy, I feel like.
And when it mattered, because this was the time when Kelly Clarkson, as far as reality TV affecting the charts, like Kelly Clarkson won, Ruben Studdard won, that mattered at that time. That mattered that you had a reality show. Now it's like, as we've joked, like there's 19 The Voice winners. We don't know any of them. Like, it's different now because reality doesn't have that same hold necessarily as at that time.
Consumption's different.
Yeah. Newlyweds was such a big deal at the time. For Nick and Jessica, that was like such a big deal for our generation.
Yeah. Well, people tuned in.
They did. They wanted to hear the dumb things Jessica said, you know, Chicken of the Sea, that whole phenomenon of like, oh, she's so ditzy, you know, and the drama of their relationship and all of that. So,
yeah.
And then you had
I was a little Jessica stan, kind of.
A little simpster.
Sweetest stan.
I mean, I didn't dislike, of course. I just wasn't checking actively. I did really enjoy the songs here and there. It just wasn't the same. I wasn't stanning. I wasn't buying the album. I couldn't support her with my dollars.
She wants conscious to be like spending. Britney, yeah. Not in my house. Meanwhile, I'm like, I want to be up there. I want to do that. Supporting every girl who tried to be like Britney.
I know. I did. You know, I was so deep into Lindsay and Hillary and Kelly at that time.
Avril.
So it's not necessarily, I definitely liked the anti-Britneys a lot more, I guess.
Pink.
Less competition. I don't know. It was also the time we had just been coming out of the closet and it felt much safer to go for the pop punk girls versus the bubblegum pop girls. You're not allowed to like them. You could only like the cool anti-Britneys. So it felt a little easier to stand them, I think.
Yeah, that is, like, thinking back, I do feel like the general public was more supportive of like an Avril, Pink, like the anti-bubblegum pop.
Totally. All the way up to like Pink's Stupid Girls, which is so problematic
iconic.
Now.
Yeah, it is.
Very like the anti, you know, I'm not a slut. I'm not a, you know.
I'm not Paris Hilton.
Right. You know, and then
which
we just
was
get
a quote
that.
In the Ashley Simpson show.
That's true.
Where Jessica was like, I don't want to be like Paris Hilton. I'm like, you thought that chicken, like tuna was chicken? Like, what are you talking about? That's like the same as when Paris was like, do they sell walls at Walmart?
Right. They know
like,
what they're
literally
doing.
They copied her.
They're playing the game. Totally. Ugh. So, you know, I just felt like it was a lot easier to like those girls. And as a result, I just felt like I was more taken to Ashley just because she was the, you know, the rowdy sis who was the, you know, you felt that energy of the of her mom and dad and Jessica just sort of being like, and Ashley.
Yeah. Well, we were closer in age. I feel like it was.
That's true.
We were, I would think I was a sophomore in high school.
Yeah, we were. And she
was
19.
Like, yeah. And I had friends who were like older than me. Shout out to Lindsay. I didn't mean to say it like that. Like, my friends were like graduating school, like had graduated when I was still a sophomore. Like they were seniors or they had graduated. So to me, Ashley felt like the girl I would hang out with at school. Like it felt like a friend, kind of.
Absolutely. And I think it really captured that spirit in the Ashley Simpson show, which looking back is really, first of all, they set our girl up. They set her ass up. They shade her in so many ways throughout this entire program that is so funny but awful. That is how she came into our lives in a big way was the show. I mean, this was also peak. This was how far reality TV could go, because this was like, I remember when we hit the wall of like extremism, it was like the swan, like we had extreme reality TV. This show was really like setting her up to be pulled down, dragged down for sure. They absolutely knowingly made her look bratty, uncaring about the final product, like rambunctious and just kind of. And I'm not going to say it's like 100% like the producers, like obviously she was who she was at that time, but she was a 19-year-old girl. And so I think while we have that conversation about framing Britney Spears and what we talk about with the 2000s girls, you know, there's something to be said about putting a 19-year-old girl on TV like that and in many ways setting her up to look stupid and to look bratty. Yeah, it's just a different conversation now about how we would frame this person.
Well, so let's set it up here. So the first single drops in May of 2004, Pieces of Me, followed right by the Ashley Simpson show in June. And it was like this whirlwind of promo and press with a massive, huge single into the show. But like piggybacking off of what you were saying about her brattiness, like it was funny to me because the show is so short.
Right.
And it's just like these chaotic, vloggy snippets that are really choppy. And they try and have these moments where she's being bratty and it's her mom just being like, you need to be grateful because... I love the scene where they're in the car and she's like, you need to be grateful because you could be sitting at home dreaming about people wanting to buy your records. And she just completely ends her in like 2 seconds.
It's so funny, but it's also like horrific that they're just like constantly reminding her of Jessica always throughout the whole. The whole show is set up on the premise that she's not Jessica. The whole show. You might know me as Jessica Simpson's sister. She was truly the embodiment of like the pop punk anti-version of whatever they're selling, dyeing her hair brown and having her rebellious music and all of the bratty things she did on the show were just all leading up to this album, which told a very sort of obvious story. It was like, I'm not like her. I'm in her shadow. I really enjoyed watching it back just because I relived so much of our experience in high school. Like it felt like it. Like seeing her in those, was it Urban Outfitters shirts of like, Kiss Me, I'm Irish kind of shirts and shit like that. And
yeah. Well, I thought she was kind of, I don't know. I felt like, yes, she was a little like bratty and I don't know, like looking back, obviously we're like what, 20 something years older now than we were at that age. And I'm sure if we looked at old videos of ourselves in high school, we'd be like, oh God.
It's mortifying. It's completely mortifying. I totally am sure that I was just like that or similar in different ways. Part of it is like, she's like, I don't even have to do singing. I could just go back to acting and do acting or whatever. Like she doesn't even realize the privilege of like what she's been handed by having Jessica Simpson as a sister. She's like, I gotta do a fucking commercial. It's so maddening to watch her go through like promo interviews and stuff. And she's like, I didn't really get it. Like he had an accent and she's really grating in a lot of the scenes, but she's a really young girl. And I think one of my favorite scenes is her getting the call from Geffen and they're talking about the demos. And she's like, I don't want to be like Hillary. I don't want to be like Kelly Clarkson.
I want to
be me.
I want you to refocus your direction. It's got to be edgy like Hillary Duff and Kelly Clarkson.
I don't want to be like those people. Hillary Duff, are you kidding me? I don't want people to want me to be like Hillary Duff. I think she's a doll and has, you know, her thing going for it, but I don't want to be like that.
First of all, most people do not care.
And they did this to my sister. They made her try to be like Britney Spears, and that f***ed her up because that's not who she is.
Edgy, like Hillary Duff, was the kicker.
Edgy.
Yeah.
God.
I don't know. I was like watching it back. I was kind of like remembering why I stand back then, because I do think as a younger sister, she had to not only just separate herself and make, you know, her own identity, as she talks about, but you also have to work harder because you want to prove yourself as your own thing. Like, I stan Serena Williams, who's the younger sister of the legendary Venus Williams. Mm-hmm. Stan them both. But, like, I felt like the same kind of thing with Serena. It was like she always had to live in the shadow of the older sister who was, like, hugely successful.
No, totally. Every time she walks into the room on the Ashley Simpson show, it's, like, this beacon of light. And everyone's like, oh, Jessica's here.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Queen of Pop.
Jessica.
That would have been me.
The commercial of the horrendousness of putting her in that dumpy outfit next to Jessica. You're like, fine, Ashley, and they spell her name wrong. As I tweeted, like, this is her villain origin story. Like, it would totally make sense if she just became a super villain after this, because they totally disrespect her in so many ways. They make her look like tomboyish and, like, just frumpy, and then Jessica looks like this hot babe in that commercial.
I know that buffaloes don't have wings.
I can't believe how stupid, but I also can, that culture was then, that was funny or good humor. To be, like, that stupid, to be like, what? Chicken of the sea? Like, I can't remember. I can't believe we were in that place, and yet I can.
Well, I mean, Simple Life set the stage for that.
That's true, too.
That was the blueprint, honestly.
I mean, there were some pretty good scenes of her recording. They have captured it flawlessly in the Mad TV parodies. I highly recommend, if you've never seen them at home, you need to Google Mad TV parody. Oh my God, it is the funniest. It's so spot on to, like, what happens during this show. There's one scene where they, like, crank up her auto-tune. It's rude to our faves, but they go from Paula Abdul to Britney to J-Lo in the studio. It's just, it's really funny because she has so many, like, shit takes in the studio, and they're like, oh God, try it again. She's like, it's hard.
They really did a lot of that, though. Like, they edited, like, I know people are like, they say, like, not to blame the editing, and they're like, oh, it's not editing. But, like, watching this, like, it kind of was the editing a little bit.
Yes, because, like, recording the album, you're always going to have bad takes, but they only show the bad takes.
Right, but they only show that. Or they only show her complaining.
It was very, like, Drag Race editing.
Yeah, right. And the episodes are only, like, 20 minutes long, so it's, like,
but they throw in very subtle things to really sway you to hate her, because I think, in my opinion.
You think?
Because that one scene, I don't know if you remember or if you saw this scene where they bring in the string section to record the final day.
And iconic.
They're recording the strings, and she's putting her feet up, and she's like, should I wear that dress tonight? Should I do that? And, like,
so bad.
The producer's like, look how expensive your album is right now. And she's like, what should I do tonight?
Just
trying to send a message of, like, ungratefulness or just, like, ditziness, which I think to that point, they're probably trying to, like, get a Jessica moment out of her to be like,
that's what I thought. I was like, oh, they're trying to make this comedic.
Yeah.
But
oh, for sure. But it definitely has the effect of, like, when I think back, and we'll get into the SNL incident, I'm like, there was a lot of built up resentment for this person. So when she failed, that's probably why the backlash was so loud, is because you had this reality show where you're set up as this ditzy, if not ungrateful person. So if you flop, it was so loud because she probably had a lot of people rooting against her. Not that it's okay.
Right. Well, it's also interesting because it's like there was also so many people in her corner.
Yes. No, she still had the sales and charts and all of that. Like, she still had a lot of fans and people that supported her. But it's interesting. I even rewatched, and we'll get into the Orange Bowl later, but, like, all the comments, like, recent comments just being like, I wish I was there to boo her too. All these men. And I'm like, this, that whole, like, mentality that she deserved it or that she sucked still exists. And, like, her main search on Ashley Simpson on YouTube, like, lip sync or SNL comes up, like, first as, like, the recommended. I don't think the general public ever really got over it.
No. Well, we can dive more into that.
Yeah, like, we will.
That,
yeah,
like,
we
deeper
will.
Combo, because I definitely have thoughts and opinions on that.
Yeah.
You know, hot takes, as the hot kids takes. Say. But speaking of that string scene, I thought that was so fucking cool that they did that. Like, I, you know, as a new,
as a producer,
new music producer who basically hit, like, three keys once, like, making those set, I was like, oh, this is so cool. Like, and I was listening to the album again, and I think one of the things I love about it is it's so rich.
It is. And I mean,
and
she worked the top hit makers at the time. Like, John Shanks was, like, the guy at that time. It was, like, Alanis, Cheryl, and then he moved into, like, Kelly, Hillary, Lindsay. Like, he was that rock pop guy. That was the same with this album and Cara Diaguardi and all of these songwriters that were top notch. They made that very clear throughout the season. They were like, we're sending you like the hottest hit makers right now to do this. And she's like, cool.
Yeah.
Sure.
But like actually iconic. Like we're talking yeah. like the big leagues.
And to her credit, she is a co-writer on all of it.
Which is difficult to do. Not everyone does that.
Not everyone has that. And, you know, taking her word for it, she seems to be writing from her experience of breakups and being in her sister's shadow. And it relates to her life in that way. So at least from the scenes, it does look like she literally was writing with those people. You know, a 19-year-old co-writing, difficult yeah. to get.
I loved seeing that, too, because I felt like,
yep.
I don't know, like, hot take here, opinion, little Jessica Simpsonites, don't come for me. I always felt like Jessica was a singer, mm-hmm. but Ashley was more of an artist because mm. she was a writer. Anyway, that's just my opinion. But I stand, like, I have all the Jessica albums, don't come for me.
Right, right.
But I loved seeing the writing process. It reminded me also of, like, when Kesha did that documentary, like, years later. Yeah. When she talked about like her travels and her inspirations behind the songs. And I don't know, I feel like Ashley never got credit for the songwriting, really. Like it right. just overshadowed by everything else that we'll talk about later. But
yeah,
I don't know. I like loved it. It reminded me of Live Journal. Like I remember watching it and being like, oh, she's so cool. She's just like me. She goes and she writes in her journal. Like I had an actual journal and I had a Live Journal. And I was like, oh, she makes it look so easy being a queen of pop.
Right, right. Yeah, also the iconography throughout that season of just like the flip phones, the all of the like ancient technology Sidekick. That's in that is just a blast from the past.
Yeah.
It's very entertaining to watch. I also thought that we get a lot of doctor time. We get told that she has acid reflux, that she's often on vocal rest in this show and she doesn't really commit to that. She's got a diet that she does not commit to for like reducing acid reflux. And of course, that all leads up to SNL. But yeah, she basically...
Did you catch the girl who was like... I think it was the part where they were in the mall and the girl was like, we know that you have acid reflux. And I was like, whoever that girl is, if you are out there, me. Like, I literally paused it and I was like, that girl is me. Like, that would have been...
Absolutely.
You know that would have been me at the concert being like, I have a deviated septum too. Stan.
So inspiring. Yeah, I did catch in season two, there were a group of three girls that wore a shirt that said, I love lip syncers.
Same.
In support. It's like...
Where can I get a copy of those shirts?
Absolutely.
Because same.
Yeah, she had a lot of fans. I appreciated that aspect of it, which definitely doesn't get talked about at all. Nobody accepts that as like the reason of that all that happened. But like she blows out her voice like three or four times in this series where it's just coarse and really rough. And I mean, she is not singing properly. Like she needed that vocal coach yesterday. She needed like them way before the album because I just feel like she sings incorrectly. And I'm not a singer.
Well, I am. And I agree. No.
Yeah. It definitely feels like busts her voice a lot.
That happened to Kelly Clarkson a few times too.
I was just going to say, yeah, it does. It that kind of pop punk screaming singing.
Iconic, legendary singing.
Absolutely. Also iconic, her form of dancing when she performs. Her sort
unique.
Of snake slither, ass first kind of like, I don't know what it is, but it's sort of like the car dealership worms. That float in the air.
Open up my eyes.
Absolutely. Yeah. The very unique performance style. And I just feel like all I kept thinking throughout watching was they set her ass up. Like they put her on stage for the first time ever. She doesn't understand in-ears. Like that TikTok I shared, like in-ears sound pretty complicated because you've got so many cues happening all the time. And it's, you know, if you just get put up there, you have no idea what you're doing. But she kind of, at least from how the show suggests, she like soldiers on through all of it. But they're just kind of, and on all of the comparisons, they're like, one of my favorites, you sound like Garbage, pause, like the band Garbage. Which, some truth there, somebody else said Hole in Geffen, which I agree, like some Courtney. And you know what? We said it when like Miley's album came out. I absolutely think that Ashley Avril and all the girls had the impact on the pop rock girls of today.
Yeah. Like, well, that's... didn't he also, the producer who did Autobiography, he did Can't Be Tamed.
Right.
From Miley. Right. Iconic. Right.
I mean, yeah, there's like a through line of pop rock goodness. It's
also, can I, this might be another hot take that gets me dragged, but I'm curious if anyone else agrees.
Uh-huh.
I kind of feel like with Ashley, and I say this is a compliment coming from me, I feel like she gives me Speak by Lindsay Lohan with like a little bit of Britney.
Yeah, because that's
like
what
the whisperiness of it. Like, even though she was like, yeah, I don't want to be that, and she insults Britney at one point, which we can discuss that.
Who would win between you and Britney in a fight?
Who would win in a fight? You or Britney Spears?
Me, I'd kick her ass.
Yeah.
But 2003 for Britney, she could swing. Like, she would knock you out. Like, absolutely. Yeah. Like, Britney, I'm sorry, Britney would knock Ashley out.
Exactly. And she would sell more records, and she would sell out a bigger crowd. So let's keep it.
Let's calm down a bit.
Yeah. But like, we stand. But like, the thing
let's
is, like,
be clear.
Yeah, like, I can go hard for both of them, but then the second that one of them comes for the other one, right, I'm like, wait, no. I, like, step in the middle, and I'm like, she can't sing like you, but she knows how to...
Oh, yeah. No, it's,
yeah,
it's
I don't
true,
know,
but
like,
they also put her in that position, because that's all the interviewers do in this season. Yeah. They're just like, so what do you think of Jessica? What do you think of Britney? What do you think, you know, it's like, okay, you know, but that's also the gossip. That's the fun part.
Any other things from the Ashley Simpson show that like stood out to you that you loved?
Her mother is Lynn Spears. You can't tell me otherwise. They're
the
like
whole family gives me like,
oh, very father. Hello.
Fine. Control, I'll just leave. Like, yeah.
The control of it all is like, oh, okay. She's like, it's tough having a father and a manager. And I'm like, ooh.
The Southern
like
accents come out.
Yeah. Yep. Totally. Totally same vibes. I mean, you know, it is sort of like, I guess if Jamie Lynn fully went in a different direction and had all that back behind her, like, that story would have been even more similar for that family. But yeah, such a similar storyline. The parents were like that. And oh, we didn't even talk about the relationships. We got Josh Henderson, not Hutcherson. He was on Pop Stars 2. He lasted one episode of Love.
I know. That was the funniest. It was like one 20-minute episode, and then it was broken
one
up.
Whirlwind,
song.
Moving in together. Also, I have no concept of like space and time, because this show is like, she's 19. Why is she living with this boy she just met, maybe at a, when she moved to LA? They were so vague about,
no,
like,
she had roommates.
She had roommates, but they were all,
they
just
lived
like
down the hall,
living in this space. And she's also very famous. And I it seemed like so weird. And then also Ryan Cabrera.
Well, it reminded me of a dorm.
It did remind me of a dorm, but also Ryan Cabrera just like living at their house for a year, that they were vaguely like, oh yeah, he lived at my house for a year.
Yeah.
What? What does that mean?
I was,
and he's
such
like my
Ryan
best friend.
Cabrera stan.
Oh, that hair.
Yeah, that's like, I was like, oh my God, so hot.
I remember there was like a half second there that he was the boy. He
half second? It was at least 2 years.
Okay. Generous, but yeah. Was that also Jesse McCartney era?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit before, I think.
It was like it was prime Justin. And then, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
But his first album is so good. And so is the second one, Ryan Cabrera.
Thanks, Ashley.
We stan.
For the influence.
20 years of Ryan coming soon. My spin-off.
On the way down soon.
Yeah. On the way down again.
Yeah. They had the relationship that lasts throughout the whole series. I'm sure they were gunning for a newlyweds Ashley and Ryan if they could have, but
I don't know if I could have stomached that.
Oh God, no. But
she was a little the one episode where she was totally drinking and they tried to hide it, and there was like two frames where they got her going for the martini.
Yes, there are parts of this where I'm like, I believe this person's inebriated, but I like they don't allude to
Valentine's
it. She's 19.
Day.
Yes.
The Valentine's Day episode.
Yeah.
Which, like, you know, listen, I was in college drinking my sparks and walking the streets drunk, getting into bars with a fake ID. So I have no judgment here, but like.
Sometimes the erratic behavior is like, wait, isn't she just drunk with her girlfriends right now?
I thought you were going to sing the song for me.
I literally thought that was a soundbite from the show.
It was. No.
but I thought you were going to sing it for me.
You didn't do anything for me.
I overreacted so bad. Got me flowers when I went home, so I wrote a song about it. Oh, Ryan. Oh, God.
Oh, God.
But, like, I stan.
I know. And then, of course, he is the inspiration behind Pieces of May.
Yeah.
So we do have to thank him for that. Oh, and one thing, that intro to the show, there are certain sound bites in this world that stick with me. And, like, I'll wake up in the morning and it'll just play in my head and, like, just ask May. Like, will always be in my head forever.
I mean, she didn't want to be like Hillary Duff, but, like, they both share one thing in common. They both have iconic theme songs.
They do.
Under their belts.
They do.
Come Clean is like Laguna Beach.
Yeah.
And then this song is The Ashley Simpson Show.
Good soundtrack on this as well. They played like Imogen Heap. They played like telepop music. They played really good songs throughout this.
Yeah, they played Gwen.
Yes, yes, they did. Mm-hmm.
Did you clock her high fashion editorial moment? She had the LAMB sweater and like the one.
That's right. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was watching this with like a fine tooth comb. I was like,
oh, you can see like the Ed Hardy, you can see the sidekick, the trucker hats. It was all bringing me back to all of it.
Ugh.
The chunky belts, so many chunky belts.
The low jeans.
Yeah. Yeah. So many choices were made that era. What a terrible era for fashion. Literally so unflattering for everyone involved.
Yeah. Well, I can't say shit because the photos of me from this era, this was my like popped collar from
popped
Old
collar,
Navy.
Puka shell necklace. Like, it,
see,
nobody
I never
was
went
spared.
That far.
Oh, that was me.
I never did the puka shell.
A&F, popped collar, puka shell, those gummy bracelets or whatever, like certain like bracelets and the Old Navy flip-flops and bootcut jeans. Like, there were no favors. That's not flattering on a body. It's just not. You know what? We live and we learn. And this is our autobiography. I felt it was very appropriate as like an album concept and a general vibe to have this album be like, this is the real me. Like, that makes total sense. And so many of the song titles and the songs really do tell the story well. So I actually think it is a successful album in the sense of like having a point of view and a statement come out of the gate. Like, I get it. I get who Ashley Simpson is from this. If we're doing a Drag Race branding challenge, like, I get what her vibe is as a product.
We're going to watch your commercial.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's basically the Mad TV parody. She goes, so enjoy this commercial. Show.
Well, it worked. I think.
Oh, like, it was a total commercial for her album.
Yeah. And it was played well. And it, I mean, obviously it made me a stan. So
there
we're
you
still
go.
Talking about it like
we
40
still
years
are.
Later.
If I can relate to anything, I feel like some people will know this. It's very similar to The Comeback, Lisa Kudrow, and it's also very similar to Totally Scott Lee, which I've talked about before with Lisa Scott Lee. They constantly embarrass the protagonist, and they constantly show like the name misspelled, person not recognizing her, thinking she's Jessica. They constantly do that, and it's so demeaning, and she just soldiers through, and you're like rooting for her. But also, she has, yes, some bratty moments for sure. But she's 19, and I constantly had to keep reminding myself, like, of me as a 19-year-old and what I would do with cameras and fame and all. It would just be a nightmare.
My God. I had YouTube vlogs back then in that era.
Oh.
They're all private now. Shout out to Kate. If you're listening, we had many jam sessions to this album in my car that had no air conditioning, but it did have a CD player. Yeah, it was pretty legendary. It's on YouTube if you guys want to go watch it.
Go ahead and take a peek. That is what being a 19-year-old in 2004 was like, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Which is crazy because right now we have somebody who's 19 killing it at number one, Billie Eilish. I could not even imagine that Billie and Ashley are like the same age, like watching that show and seeing Billie as a person right now. I'm like, holy shit. Life is very different. Billie Ashley collab.
I know. I'm like, I'm thinking about it and I'm like, it is really just the landscape is just so different.
So different.
It's almost like even though we're more connected now and there's more social media now, I feel like there is more of an elusiveness with some people.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, post paparazzi culture and stuff, there's a certain wall around Billie or at least her team for a good reason. And I think it's just different now.
Know what else made me sad about the show, watching it? The mall culture, like the Like, I was watching it and I was like, this will never happen again, ever.
No, yeah, and we would never have a mall performance again.
No. Oh my God, I saw Brooke Hogan perform at a mall. Legendary.
That's incredible.
Oh my God, we need to do a Brooke Hogan deep... Sorry, not to derail this, but I said it before, I stan all the girls who tried to be Britney.
And I did since. Like, something broke... By 2007, I was just completely into all the girls. So, like, yeah. I let down my guard.
You saw the light.
I saw the light.
Yeah.
Paris,
Mew Mew knows best. But no, I like thought there was like I don't know, like the TRL, like even just seeing people standing outside in Times Square and going to Best Buy to go meet Ashley Simpson and have her like talk to you and sign your CD. And I'm like, it's so sad that like that will never happen again.
Yeah, I think signings are still like will like happen eventually when things get back to normal, but I don't think that it's just not the same kind of pandemonium, and certainly the TRL vibe will never really happen again in the same way, I don't think. But
right,
very interesting to watch that. Watch, oh God, the secondhand embarrassment when she meets Jay-Z.
Oh,
I'm obsessed with your song. It's my favorite. Oh, what song? I got 99 problems.
You know what though? But like, shout out to her for being like so bold.
Oh, it's cute and just, yeah, it was mortifying, but she was mortified and it was funny. Yeah, watching the record machine work and watching the label just be like, well, you gotta sing prettier, you gotta look like this, you gotta, you know, sound like this, very just blatant, you know, this is what you have to do. And it's interesting to see like what choices she was allowed to have and what she like gave into, like in season two when they call her and they're like, autobiography's not the single, Lala's the single. Although like, I'm happy Lala was a single, but also autobiography, I'm actually shocked, was not a like legit single.
Yeah.
It was the song. Like, it was the song for the show. I'm shocked.
What did you think of like the whole vibe between like, because I thought it was interesting seeing like a lot of older men.
Yeah.
Kind of like in charge. And yep. Driving the ship, but like, I don't know, I felt like there was like maybe like one or two comments that threw me off, but I did almost feel like they were respectful of her as a writer. Like, I don't know, I didn't get like, the alarm bells didn't go off for me,
right?
Too strong. No, it was a little weird.
There were some weird moments. I felt like the vocal coach was a bit weird with her once walking out in the parking lot. I didn't like, he was,
oh,
like,
but you know, that was some queen, wasn't it? Oh,
I guess so, but he was just like, you know, why is a young girl like you so stressed right now? It was like a weird comment that I was like, I don't know. But you do have to, you know, you have to wonder, like, that's an already famous person that was hand delivered to them by a power hungry manager father. You have to wonder like what things were like for people who were not at that position already.
Yeah. Wasn't her hairstylist, didn't he used to do Britney too?
Oh yeah. He was all over. Is all over, I don't know. But yeah, all of her extensions throughout this whole thing, they were so many. Her bang.
The scene where she like gets full beat and she's like, I feel like I look like a clown.
I look like a clown.
Ahead of its
Sweetie,
time.
No, you don't. And then she like makes such a big stink and they're like, we haven't curled your eyelashes.
Ugh, it was like, honestly, this was like kind of chaotic tease.
Yeah, it really was. A little bit. It was very similar to chaotic. I mean, yeah. similar age, similar vibe. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it wasn't too cringy as far as like, I mean, Jessica did bully her and constantly call her a boy though. But otherwise,
yeah,
that was like, when really I wish she was able to verbalize her aesthetic or verbalize her desire a little bit more in that moment and be like, no, I like how this looks.
Right.
But instead, like, it was.
Why
like,
do girls just have to wear dresses?
Right. Like, it was just taken more as a like, oh, look at this silly girl. She doesn't know how to dress. And it's like, no, she actually has this different aesthetic that if she were able to stick up for herself. Would have been
high fashion
again. 19, it's just, you know, it's a different time.
Those were the days back in the 40s.
Yeah. Well, as far as the actual album, should we get into like when it actually arrived?
All right, so the album comes out July 20th 2004, and a fun fact that I thought we could talk about quickly that I had forgotten about until I read about it: MTV.com had that thing called The Leak. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So it came out first there, and it drew, according to Wikipedia, 2.66 million requested streams during the time period it was on there, which broke Britney's record from In the Zone.
That's crazy.
And then I was like, holy shit, I remember going on The Leak and listening to the album for an entire week on my computer.
You hear it here first. Yeah, that like 1 week exclusive stream of it.
Yeah, those are the days when like every MP3 had some kind of like dubbed AOL music. Oh, no. It's literally like stuck in my brain.
Forever. Yes, it was Kazaa. It was all of that era. Because I remember In the Zone leaking on Kazaa like right before the album came out. I'm pretty sure I remember that. I mean, that is just proof that the MTV machine truly worked. There was really nothing before that. It was just the show, and the show was so popular then.
Yeah.
And it worked.
And YouTube was starting around this time, but it was very like...
Yeah, this was ancient days if this was around. I don't think anybody was looking. It was still MTV ruled with videos, and that was the law of the land.
The concept for MTV is basically about, you know, music, television.
And the album smashes, and we see it happen on the show as well, and she gets a platinum record. It was a big deal. It was the biggest debut album. What's the stat?
The stat is, in the United States of America, Autobiography was 2004's biggest debut album by a female artist. And in September, the IRAA, which... We don't stand them because they constantly send me fucking takedowns on Twitter and got me suspended multiple times. So like, fuck yourselves. I'm literally promoting your music. My Housewives, like Lord Mix, like literally everything, right. I get suspended because of them. So Rhea, you can go fuck yourselves. but they did give the album a triple platinum certification in 2004, which is difficult to get. Not everyone has that.
Not everyone has that. And so it was a big success at the time. Simpson. All right, well, let's get into the actual album artwork, which is also documented on the show. I actually always appreciate getting to see the bigger glimpse because I never really took into the idea of, like, I just think of her face. I didn't even really consider that she's in a dark, dingy room like that. And that was cool to see.
Yeah.
It was cool seeing, like, the low quality proofs of other possibilities of the shots. I do think she got the shot.
Oh, yeah. The cover is a perfect choice.
That is the perfect choice. Yeah, I think she got the shot. I don't think there was an alternative Glory cover that was lying in waiting.
A still from one of the music videos.
Oh my God, dead. Yeah, no, I think she got the shot. And I think it's very speak also, I think, in a way.
Well, ahead of its time. I mean, this was pre-speak.
It was all coming at the same time. And truly, a lot of these songs are sort of, you could trade them off on Lindsay's album for sure.
Yeah.
Which is not
like they're sisters to me.
Yeah, it's not a diss at all. They were connected by a certain man that led to boyfriend on the second album, but we're saving I Am Me for another time.
Oh, yes. We have to get into that one. Yeah, I love the photo on the white backdrop where she's got the mic stand.
Oh, yes.
So good.
Yeah, the whole shoot is so much like the Lindsay one now that I think about it. It's like hand her instrument, leather jacket. She's a rock girl now.
Scribbles.
Oh, my God. Yeah. The like skull and bones scribbles.
Yeah. I love the back cover, too, with like how they did all the hand type.
Yes. Definitely. Yeah. It's a good cover.
She's in the Legends binder.
It totally encapsulates the vibe of 2004. That's for sure. I think it's time to probably deep dive into the album.
Press play.
Yeah. AOL. First listen.
Legends only music. First listen.
What was that?
Could you imagine? Like, I just dub over every single one.
What was that?
Okay, so track one, title track, Ashley Simpson Show theme song, Autobiography. It really just sets the stage
for
the album.
Stains on her t-shirt, biggest flirt, just ask me. As I said, it will never get out of my head. And I can't even imagine that this wasn't a single because it just feels so like beaten into pop culture.
Well, yeah, I feel like everyone knows this one.
Of course. And yet, it's not officially considered one. Just crazy. And also, her track record chart-wise is kind of disappointing this whole era. Like, she smashes with Pieces of Me, but I think La La was like 66 or something like that. And then Shadow quickly tanked, and then La La also.
Really?
But anyway, But you know what? We can't really it's apples and oranges compared to today, because as we talk about, like,
Britney flopped on the charts.
Britney's Toxic was 9 on the Hot 100, which is genuinely unspeakable and doesn't make any sense, does it? So
Grammy Award winning song, Toxic. Local fave.
Difficult to get. Yes, local fave. So I wouldn't exactly hold it in the same regard, especially because the videos were on replay. So
yeah. And also, too, if you think about it, like, streams, well, not that there were really, I feel like, well, you could stream on AOL and you could stream on MTV.com. But
it was
all
really
that,
about, like, video.
None of that counted.
TV. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was all about your TV, your TRL visibility and things like that, and just pop culture visibility. And so, you know, and I don't think radio wanted to play Ashley. Like, that was the whole anti-bubblegum girls, anti-pop girls. I think a lot of it had to do with that, too. And certainly after the incident, it was never the same. But anyway.
The next track, which was her first single, Pieces of Me.
As her father repeatedly reminded her, this is the single.
This is the single.
Dad, I know it's my single. I just don't have it in me today. I can't sing it.
You know, she kind of spilled points in that argument back. She's like, obviously, I know it's my single. I'm like, yeah,
it's my single.
Yeah. So
it was
this
very
one
Britney
came out.
Snapping at Jamie about Womanizer. It was like,
oh. So this one is the debut single. Now, I love the song, and I feel like this was a huge smash. Everyone knows it. Everyone can sing along to it.
It's now infamous. I mean, it's famous and infamous. Everybody knows it already. I think it's generally regarded as a good song. It's just got such a stigma attached to it because of a certain incident. But otherwise, it's her Toxic. It's her biggest song, I think, that people would know. The locals would know.
I agree with that.
It's her baby. It's her baby, her oops, her Toxic, for sure.
Yeah, her Email My Heart.
Her Email My Heart. Yeah, I think it's a perfect song, to be honest. Like, I think it's like punk pop, angsty pop 2004.
Mm-hmm. Vocals.
Vocals.
Also, the one thing about this that I thought was interesting is that the video for this is really boring.
Super boring, not memorable. Really just a commercial for the Ashley Simpson show in some
ways. Yeah, she's just singing in a booth. But, like, it's iconic.
Right. Yeah. I wouldn't say this is, like, particularly memorable. And it's also just, you know, interspersed with, like, footage of her recording, which we see in the Ashley Simpson show. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Visuals were, like, not really her music videos in this era were not really it. Kind of. Although, we'll
I agree
get into
with
the
that.
Next, the next song we'll get into, it's only Other Shadow.
Cinematic parallels.
Cinematic parallel. Yes, we have The Other Shadow. Very much her I Am Not Jessica song.
Yeah, which I will say, though, this music video does a much better job of giving us a concept.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. The concept of this video is basically blonde versus brunette.
Yeah. She's not me.
It's basically like, and also I wonder if the concept already existed before or after she dyed her hair. Cause I was like, what were you going to do without that? Because it like handed the concept to them. It was like, oh, okay. She's the brunette one. There we go.
I do think that brunette made a big difference.
It did. It totally did. And
from a branding perspective,
it changed the game. It completely did. Cause
and it looks amazing on her. Like, she looks stunning as a brunette.
She does. And for better or worse, she was right. Like, it does look like too much like Jessica. It does. You do lump her in as her sister more if she's blonde too, at the time anyway. So she made the right call. If that was her call.
Well,
if we believe her.
Saw on the show, she just, you know, dyed her hair.
She just snapped.
A box dye.
Yeah. But someone pointed out that, like, when she rings it out in the sink, that there's no color. So they're like, it definitely was filmed after.
Oh, interesting.
I have to go watch back, but it does seem like maybe she reenacted.
Have you ever dyed your hair?
Not at home, like, myself. I've had, like, a professional do it, but not in a box.
Oh.
Yeah.
I tried to be, like, after the Lindsay Lohan Proactive commercial. Mm-hmm. Not only did I buy Proactive because of that commercial, but then I dyed my hair the same hair color that she has in the commercial.
Oh, yeah.
So I went like chocolate red.
We were truly living parallel lives, because my same dye job was because I brought in a copy of a picture of Britney on the Onyx Hotel tour and said, chocolate brown like Britney, please.
A serve. I mean,
truly a serve.
The taste level was always there.
Didn't look the same on me.
Yeah. I used to have like neon red hair. So it was a difference when I did it.
Okay. I'm glad. Yeah. But our girls definitely inspired us to do that. And maybe she saw somebody who inspired her to do that as well. But yeah. So Shadow is like, as a song, I like it too.
Yeah. Me too. Because I also think, despite the Jessica moment, yeah, I do think it plays with like the other girls too.
For sure.
There like, are it plays to Hillary. It plays to Britney.
Yeah, completely. She was up against all of that. So it definitely had layers and meaning. So I approve of Shadow. I would also say this album is fairly top heavy. Like right off the bat, like the first half of it is like the singles, the hits. Like, not that the other half is bad.
I disagree with that statement.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we'll get there
We'll get there. But the next one is my personal favorite growing up, Lala.
Really?
Yes.
This is my least favorite song on the album.
I liked it because of the sluttiest.
Oh, maybe that's why I didn't like it.
I think we had the same reason is why we were polarized.
I don't know, though. Well, maybe because I was like, there's not really
drink
like a concept.
Up, I want more.
Make me Bionic. Scream.
Very not myself tonight. Lick the milk. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Every time she performed this, there was always like a, at the end, like a scream. That's actually really interesting now that you're like, this is my favorite. And I'm like, oh, it's my least favorite.
That is
so
funny.
But I don't know why.
Yeah, this is like the closest to like a pop girl that I feel like the album comes to. Like this is the closest to Britney-esque, I would say, on the album, maybe. I really enjoy the rowdiness of it. Throw me like a line back. I like it better when it hurts. Like, I felt like when I heard those words, it was very part of the gay emancipation for me. I was very like, oh, sexual. So,
and I was like, ew, pornographic.
Exactly. So I was personally into it. I find it really shocking that this album made it, or this song made it on the album, because it really doesn't lyrically tell, like, that doesn't scream Ashley to me. It's a very aggressive song.
It is very, like, it doesn't work.
Yeah, I would kind of agree. I feel like it's, like, a little spicier than what she was giving. So I find it kind of at odds with that. But I really like it. We've got the video from Joseph Kahn, and she's giving you Suburban Fantasy with Tony Hawk playing.
That game was so good.
Yes, I remember playing that.
Oh my God. I played so much Tony Hawk.
Well, you probably did because of that video.
Honestly.
Yeah, the tie-ins for that. And she's just sort of like thrashing around with like her best friends and doing gyrations and being a rebel in the local neighborhood. And not a particularly memorable visual, especially
for
because
him.
It's from Joseph Kahn. Yeah, you'd think there'd be like a giant something that happens. But
sneaker night.
Sneaker falls down a Converse shoe. Yeah, but that's so funny. Yeah, Lala was easily my favorite at the time.
Wow.
La la la. I have super cringe memories of me like performing it on my bed and just like thrashing.
You make me wanna top in the kitchen on the floor.
Oh God, interpretive dance.
No. Oh no. Re-release 2021 version.
Oh God. All this whole album just sounds like one of those checkered sweatbands that you wear on your wrist. Like that's like a Dickies like sweatband. Mm-hmm. All right. The next one, not a Madonna cover. Love Makes the World Go Round.
Here I am again.
And that reminds me of it just takes some time in the middle. Yeah. Jimmy Eat World.
Well, you're a DJ. You should like.
Yeah, I should. That. I really should. Yeah, this one's all right for me.
I like this one a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Know what I think makes all these songs so great?
What?
She really and the instruments and like the fact that it was live vocals, but live instruments. The bridges.
Yeah,
throughout
for
this
sure.
whole album, she gives
Hello.
You bridge.
We had the best bridges on Kelly Clarkson's Breakaway. Some of the best, like Hear Me, Oh Gone, Hello. The bridges of 2003 to 2005 Pop Rock Girls. Oh, absolutely. So I agree with you on that Yeah. For sure.
This bridge, like, I feel like the bridge in every song stands out.
Yeah, true.
The girls these days, they don't have the patience to even get to a bridge.
They don't. They
it's
actually
just a chorus repeated over and over.
A beat break chorus and then do a TikTok. Yes.
Yeah.
Agreed. Well, moving along, we have Better Off, track 6.
When this I'm song, standing in the pouring rain.
I get strong Lindsay Speak vibes.
Yep.
Like, this is, it really is interchangeable with Speak for me. Like, not the song, but the album. It just sounds just like Speak, which is a compliment.
Yes.
And thus also Hillary.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as she protested, unfortunately, she did end up sounding like the girls.
I know. They all are like sister albums.
They are. They are. It's undeniable because they share producers and, you know, themes and sounds. So it was inevitable.
And isn't it kind of interesting how fast forward to now, they all sort of came back in the conversation at the same time?
It is.
When they got put on vinyl.
Life is cyclical. Time is a flat circle.
Yeah.
You just keep it and then it's vintage.
Mm-hmm.
So hang on to your Ed Hardy because it is expensive now again.
Really?
Yeah. All these things, all these trends like the Juicy and all of that, it all comes back again.
Wow. Just I never really thought that Ed Hardy was attractive.
No.
Like God, my taste levels are questionable, but I never went that far.
Yeah, it was a look for many people.
Yeah.
She was throwing me back with all the Urban Outfitters type of shirts that were like, I remember I bought the like Kiss Me, I'm a Nice Jewish Boy shirt or whatever that was. And I remember like having it half zipped because I was too afraid it was scandalous at school.
Yeah, no, not me. I was fat, so I just color blocked.
Like a stack of Legos.
Yeah, literally. I had my like Old Navy fleece. I was just a rectangle.
Oh my God.
All right, so next song, Love Man for May.
Great one.
So good. This is very Ashley.
Very Ashley, very thematically on brand for mm-hmm. Autobiography. You know, the concept is basically, you know, loving her for her. Yeah, I don't like to make that comparison, but like Courtney Love and that kind of vibe, like she really does get that rocky. And so I approve.
Yeah, same.
That's like one of my favorite deeper cuts.
Also, know what else I noticed this week as I was listening back, even with these like non-singles,
yeah.
I know every word and every run.
Oh, as it just comes back. It just comes back to you instantly.
Yeah.
And the cool thing about that song is she wrote it with Shelley Piken, who did What a Girl Wants and Come On Over for XTina.
Ooh.
But like she's done so many. She really did get so many. She was handed so many songwriters and producers that iconic.
Yeah.
Oh, my vocals. I need to go to this.
Raspy. Stay silent for a full week.
Stay silent for the pod.
Next up, this is for me when we start getting good on this album.
Oh, shit. Okay.
This is when it turns up. So Surrender is the next track, which you hear a lot of in the show.
A lot of in the show. And I really thought they were angling for that to be a single because of it. They probably were.
I feel like it could have been a single.
I think so, too. It sounds like a single.
And they basically had a music video for it in the show. She sang the whole thing, and it was like...
She does sing the whole thing.
It reminded me of that Christina video where Christina's in the studio. What's that for?
Oh God.
I think it's for the Christmas song.
It's a Christmas song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good.
I agree with you because... And it's also like made such a point in the it's like a turning point part of the show because she gets in with John Shanks and they cut Surrender in like an hour or two and she felt really good about it. And that's really when the label starts changing their mind and everything. And
yeah,
so I definitely thought they were making this a bigger deal in the show for it to just be album track status. I think it's a great song and it's very like how I feel about I Will Be There on Baby. It's very like, oh, that could have been a single.
Yeah.
Like that was the fifth single.
What I also love about this one is like there's that sound in it that where it's like bam bam bum bum bum. That's like,
oh, that was just Toxic.
Oh no. Oh, actually it was.
You were.
Well I can't do, maybe I could insert it in because it's just like a little snippet and like I won't get sued.
Just surrender.
Yep. Stream Autobiography on Spotify and Apple Music and purchase it now using promo
as a shield.
Yeah. But it reminds me of the sound in Speak and also like Teenage Drama Queen.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, there's like, I don't even know what the, what is that sound? Like, I don't know. Like, what instrument is that?
Teen Queen sound.
Yeah. But it's like very Hillary.
Yeah.
And then also the guitar solo. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can. All you gotta do.
Deliverance right now. Okay.
Drive me crazy.
Yeah.
Like this one, you can just. Do
that
remember,
one
like,
is very Hillary
car,
for me.
Windows yeah. down and just like screaming this one and being like, yeah. don't you know you only get one life?
Yes. This is like right next to like Mr. James Dean.
Oh,
it's very
another
that.
Bop.
Yes. Well, moving along is Unreachable, which is number 9. Is this a fave?
It's one of them.
Yeah. It's not. I don't mind it.
Well, it's slower than the rest of the album.
It is. And actually, I would have replaced this, and we'll get to it, with Endless Summer.
Ooh. You know what? You spilled. Yeah.
Because if we're going to talk slower.
Well, what I like about her slower songs, though, I think, is they rev up at the end.
They do. They do.
Which we can talk about. I mean, like, the last song is kind of like, the end of the song, it picks up, and then she, like, infuses it with like energy at the end, which
yeah
I feel like we don't get that anymore with the girls. It's like
right.
songs now are like one speed and then it's just over, whereas like her right. ballads really just like pick up.
Yeah, I do appreciate that. I like that a lot, actually.
And the bridges are just again like shout again, out to the
yeah.
bridge. Yeah,
yeah, giving it all away. Coming up next, track 11.
You excuse you skipped.
Oh, nothing what is new.
In my opinion,
uh-oh.
The best song on this album, the
you
next
tell
track.
Us why Nothing New is the best song on Autobiography
because it just
by
is.
Ashley Simpson? Oh, okay.
Sonically, it is amazing. You can sing it. You can belt it. It's just like it's got that like
eat it,
drum
lick it, snort it, fuck it.
Where it's like, hey, so what's my damage today? Like,
yep.
This one is just like, I don't know why, it just gives me life.
It's a valid argument, and I agree that it's great.
Love that for you.
I love that for you. No, it's a great song. I do love it, too. This was, right, wasn't this about like an ex or something? I think she said it was like an ex-boyfriend. I wonder if it's about Josh. I don't know if that
I think it was about Josh.
This man who lived with her for 3 weeks is who she wrote about. Yeah, I love that.
I love this song so much.
Yeah, I think it is. I think she really. It is impressive that she's a co-writer on these songs, to be honest. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like no one really gave her credit for it.
Right.
I just love, like, you know, like a rock, edgy scream moment.
Uh huh.
That's like Queen of Pop. Like, she gave me, like, what we didn't really get from Avril.
Right. No, I understand what you mean. I agree with you, though.
Like, if Christina went rock, kind of. That's a bold statement.
Right, right.
But, like, someone out there is going to be like, T.
You're right. You're right. I definitely agree with that, actually.
Or like what Britney did with Don't Keep Me Waiting.
Yep. We did
kind
have
of
some
like
rock
that
moments.
Rock Britney.
Rock boy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Get up. Get up. Okay. giving it all away.
Love.
I do love this one. I love the melody of this.
So good.
Written with John Feldman, who also worked on Hilary Duff. Because this is, I mean, it's incestuous. They all, Hillary, Lindsay, Ashley, it was the same people. Really lovely melody on this one. I love it. Yeah. I don't know if I have a lot to say about it, but it's a good one.
Try and find your better half now. Open your eyes. Ugh. If I wasn't scared of driving, I would just like love to get in a car with the windows down and fucking scream this album at the top of my lungs.
This was the self-empowerment anthem before Firework, before all of that.
Yeah.
It was very like standing your ground.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Well, know what else? I wonder if part of why this album brings me, well, it's a great album, but like, this was also like when I got my permit and I got my own job and I was like mm-hmm. starting to feel that like independent moment. And yep. so there's just nothing like singing in your car. Like it's, there's a freedom.
Oh, I know it.
Mm-hmm. That I miss. And like, I've started kind of singing in public now because I just don't really fucking care. And also the park is empty. So I kind of just like hum and sing, but
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. And bringing us to the close of the standard edition is Undiscovered, which is also the name of the movie that she stars in a year later, critical flop.
I did not even know that was a thing.
Yeah, there's a movie by the same name a year later that comes.
What was that?
She was also nominated for a Razzie Award for her performance.
Okay, well, you know, which is difficult.
Not everyone has that. We love an awarded queen.
Doesn't Burlesque have that?
Yes. I take a Razzie with pride, please.
Yeah,
I'm sure Crossroads did. Yeah, Glitter. I'm sure they all do. So I love a Razzie.
Taste.
Yeah, Undiscovered. I really like this song a lot.
Same. I think this is the slower moment end to the album. Starts off slow. It picks up in the end.
Yeah. I like the slower moments for her. I do. And also it lets her calm down a little bit vocally because she's screaming over the guitars and drums. She can't get a moment.
Yeah. Know what this song kind of reminds me of a little bit? Sober by Kelly Clarkson.
Oh, God.
How it starts very slow and somber and then really just goes off at the end.
Yeah, actually. Yeah. Okay. I can see that. I think it's a great way to close the album, and the rest is still unwritten.
Yep.
Basically is the vibe of that. But of course, this was a day and age when we had editions all over the world and everybody got different bonus tracks.
That are still not on streaming.
We are leading the fight every day, requesting for these songs to make it onto streaming. Yeah, there's three songs. There's the international edition, Got Harder Every Day, co-written by Mr. Benji Madden. The Maddens getting involved. Good Charlotte.
Ooh, they drama. Were all in well, that drama.
They were so heavily involved in all of our pop girls' lives.
Ugh, we need to do... I still want to do that reunion couch where it's Hillary, Nicole Richie, Paris, Jessica, Ashley, Brooke Hogan,
hosted
Lindsay.
With the Misshapes, DJs and the casting crew of people who went out for Misshapes.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Would that not be iconic?
It really would be. Harder Every Day. This, for some reason, when I was listening back, almost gave me the third album vibes originally, like a slight Bittersweet World. I don't know why, but which is interesting. I know she fixed the deviated septum, but obviously her voice is very different on album 3 versus album 1.
Yeah.
She has to, but I'm sure that is because of literally when you change your nose, that is why.
Well, also I'm sure that she learned how to sing properly to properly. Protect her voice. So it wasn't
destroyed. Absolutely. Yeah. Also, that was crazy. Now I'm thinking about the nose, that he can put that thing on your nose and you can breathe. When he was try this, and she's oh, I can breathe.
Yeah, I know people who have that. And I'm I need that.
Do you have that?
A deviated septum?
Yeah.
Yeah, I never told you that.
Oh, I didn't know that you were actually did. Oh my God.
Well, yeah, when I went to the ENT, this is years ago, and I've held a grudge ever since. I went
from when you got punched. Oh.
No, I've never been punched in the nose. No, I just was I always had trouble breathing. And she's oh, so you have a deviated septum. And she's and if we do the surgery, we can give you a nose job too. We can make it smaller if you want. And I was what do you mean small? I was
what are you saying?
I was the tunnel inside my nose smaller. She's no, your nose.
No, your honker.
And I was what? And she was yeah, we can do the cosmetic. We can do the outside as well as the inside at the same time. And I was no.
How dare you? How
so
dare
I've lived
dare.
With the deviated septum ever since. I was how dare you say that I have a big fucking nose?
Wow.
I like Canceled. My big nose.
Fine, track her down. Expose her.
But then I also do wonder if that's why I sound so nasally.
Well,
I wonder if that's
why. I have no idea.
I wonder if I tried talking with my nose. Oh.
You should get that little thing up to put on the nose and see what it's like.
Is that a thing? If you hold your nose, you shouldn't hear through it?
I don't know if that's the thing. Harder every day for you to breathe.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's on the right side, not on the left side. Well, we'll have to look that one up.
We'll look that one up.
Yeah, I enjoy this song.
Yeah.
But I also, I don't think it fits on this album.
No, I'm fine with it not making the actual album. UK edition, however, gets the song Sorry, which...
I think this could have been on the album.
Could have been on the album. It actually gave me Avril Losing Grip kind of vibes.
Ooh.
Definitely gives me the whole, who does it specifically... There's a sound in this song that was present throughout all the other songs, but Avril came to mind first.
Also Fifi Dobson a little bit.
Fifi Dobson, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I think this could have been on the album too.
I think so too. It's also a bit lower for her.
Yeah.
I'm into it. Very edgy, rebellious.
Did she flop in the UK?
Well, let's have a look at her charts and sales. She went gold. No, she went gold. So as far as I know, she debuted at number 31.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought she flopped in the UK.
So it looks like she actually flopped everywhere, except for except Japan. Here. US number one, Japan number six, and Canada number eight. Everywhere else is 20s or below. Okay. Well, all right. To be fair, if the show didn't air there, there'd be no way they would know.
Yeah, they wouldn't even know her.
Yeah, but 2x platinum Canada, 3x platinum US, gold Japan, Mexico, and United Kingdom. We love to see that.
Huh.
Yeah. Okay. And we have one last. Speaking of Japan, no wonder her charts and sales happen there. We have the final bonus track, which we mentioned, Endless Summer, which I feel like might be my favorite of these bonus tracks.
Oh, I like this song more than I like La La and...
That's crazy to me. That's blasphemy. But
yeah,
I definitely think it could have been on the main album instead of some other songs.
Yeah. This song's so pretty.
You know what, though? The Japanese bonus tracks were always better. But that was the point of it, because they wanted you to buy physical. It was an incentive because it was like more expensive, I think, too, from an import standpoint. I don't know if I could be lying, but they were basically all better. Yeah, I really enjoyed this song. And yeah.
It's also just like, it was fitting because it literally came out in the summer.
And so, the summer was endless.
Yeah. So I remember like driving in my car and I had like my iPod mini, which, do you remember those?
I sure do.
I know. I like had this on there. And I just remember driving my car that had no AC. And yeah. I said that like 80 times. I'm basically like Lady Gaga, like Italian girl from New York City. Driving around in Jersey with no AC. Yeah, it's just like so pretty. And it's like about being in love, which like can't relate. But like, I don't know why I loved it. But like I would have my Dunkin' Donuts, my iced coffee. And I would just
fly. Yeah,
and I was a lifeguard.
He was a lifeguard.
And then rumors came
out.
In
New Jersey.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, this era was like so, I don't know. There's just like something about it that just brings me so much joy, because I feel like it was, post coming out in the zone, just starting to drive, just got myself an iPod, independence, rebelling a little bit.
Totally. Yeah. We were very lucky to have had it strike at the exact time that it did.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was more that came of this era that...
yeah. A song that I have sang numerous times here on this podcast.
Pa-rum-bum.
Pa-rum-bum-bum-bum. Okay, now I literally went down to 7-Eleven and I got this fucking EP.
No, you did not.
I don't know where it is. It was a paperback CD sleeve, but I went down and I bought it. It is Jessica Simpson's A Special Limited Edition Christmas Collection for 7-Eleven. Literally like 7-Eleven exclusive. Was on it.
She
and
is
I don't
on
know
it.
Where
she
it is.
She is not on the cover. She is on this limited edition. It is available on eBay right now for $2.70. If you can act fast, you might be able to get it.
Inserts bin. It's like it has to be somewhere. It was in my Legends binder and I don't know where it went.
Yeah, this was indeed a 7-Eleven exclusive from 2004. Mm-hmm. It included Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Oh Holy Night, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, What Christmas Means to Me, Breath of Heaven, Mary's Song, and of course The Little Drummer Boy, a duet with her sister Ashley, including a Christmas special.
Yeah. I thought Ashley was the best part of this EP. No offense. Well, offense to Jessica.
Sorry, Jessica.
Yeah. The Rejoice moment was like not really it for me.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, she really did that on this. Yeah. She had her own little, this is her.
Her My Only Wish.
My Only Wish. Her All I Want for Christmas. For sure. So Ashley has an iconic Christmas song.
They also just, the singing together just like is not really.
You wouldn't know that they're sisters necessarily.
Right. Like one is like very like wally. Like
yep.
I don't know if that was a good. Like
one, pa, pa, pa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then one is like that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's two extremes and one cacophony. It's a sound. It is a Christmas sound. That is what it is. And then speaking of performances and promo, we moved into the latter half of the autobiography promotional cycle, which involved some live appearances, including a weekend in October on a show called Saturday Night Live.
Yes. Unfortunately, that Endless Summer did come to an end.
Abruptly entered... on October 24th, 2004.
Yeah. And then we get into the fall, which was...
A fall indeed.
Oh.
Yes.
See what you did there.
Yes. Or really more of a what kind of dance?
A jig.
A jig, yes. Yeah. It was a jig. Yes. Unfortunately, and which as well documented on season 2 of the Ashley Simpson show, she shows up to sound check and the voice is shot yet again. Acid reflux.
For like the third or fourth time at this point in a year, which
the
is
the true
sad.
Villain of this show is acid reflux and her father. But and so they're like, and they were pretty open about it. They were like, okay, we're going to sing to track. Well, lip to track. And it wouldn't have been a big deal, but of course she did Pieces of Me. And then she was going to do Autobiography, which was going to be her next single. And maybe that's why they switched it also, is because they were like, we don't even want people.
Oh.
I don't know.
To
maybe.
Think about. Yeah.
Yeah. So Pieces of Me kicks in and she freaks and does a little jiggy jig and hops on off the stage. The headlines the next day. It was all about Ashley for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah. Now, did you watch this live?
I did.
You did? Okay.
Yeah. I remember I going like, they just cut it off. They just like ended, like she was supposed to sing. Something went wrong. I remember like telling my mom that, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something went wrong was like, what happened? And then everyone's like buzzing on AIM. Like, what happened?
hit the cell.
Check my away. Oh my FG. Ashley lipped.
Oh, this the was amount also... of Ashley Simpson lyrics that were in my AOL Instant Messenger, like going back to the album art really quick, like I definitely had a MySpace era where I did like the scratchy lyrics and like my graphics and all of that. But anyway.
500%. This was also an era which would it is not the same now. Literally everyone was obsessed with lip syncing then. Everyone cared so much about Britney lip syncs, Ashley lip. I just remember it was so much more of a big deal then, and that you would be just like completely trashed for it, or like she's not a singer. Like, I don't know. I feel like it was a lot louder then.
Oh, it was extremely loud then.
So it was such a big deal, even though we had shows like Top of the Pops in the UK and other shows where like you lip to it and it was fine. It was your promotional performance. We had this, which set a precedent on SNL, where now Lorne Michaels like made it where you have to like show your lips move. You had to like prove that you're singing live, which is so stupid. We've talked about this on the Framing Britney episodes and stuff about the overblown reactions to our teen faves at the time. It was way over the top. I think watching the Ashley Simpson show, I understand why she generated a lot of hate too, because if you weren't a fan of her, you saw a privileged girl, sibling of a talent, of a superstar already, be shoved up there without any, just instantly a number one. And you're looking at her sideways like, okay, like you just were gifted this. So to fuck up on stage is like, good, she deserved that. She didn't even work for this, even though she said she worked for it in the show a lot, which is not okay. But I understand why it was almost like vultures waiting for the moment, because like she had kind of had a target on her back.
Clap if you think she should suffer.
No one's clapping.
There we go.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's kind of how I see it. Because if that happened to Kelly at that time, it would be shocking, but I don't think people would be like rooting for it or happy about it.
I think they would have, because maybe. So I have a theory about this whole thing. Okay. Because looking back, I was like, why was this like such a thing? Like, whatever. I feel like there was an age/generational thing with like people who were in media, like the adults at that era.
Yeah.
And then like us, which were like a generation lower, that were like the stands.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I didn't care about this incident. I didn't think any less of her after it. I still love the album. I still continue to be a fan. But then it was like this, I don't know, like, does that make sense? Like, same with Britney. I felt like it was always people who were like older that were being rude. And so I feel like now when I talk about like Addison Rae and like Charli D'Amelio and like all these younger stars, I have the perspective of, oh, okay, I'm now an age that the people I saw making fun of Britney when I was a kid, I'm now in those shoes. So I have this weird perspective of like, okay, I don't have to like the music, but I don't need to be mean. And I don't have to be unnecessarily nasty and rude and like be rooting for people to flop. It's just not my thing. Whereas like,
which is so funny because there are so many, I saw a TikTok of somebody being like, you all watched Framing Britney and came to rally around Britney. And then I see your comments on Addison Rae's like video. Yeah. And it's like, where's the same energy for like, you don't have to like it, but like, if you're going to tell her to kill herself, like that's what we were doing to Britney 20 years ago. Like that, well, not
the
us
media,
personally,
the machine,
the media, yeah. The machine. So it's like, it is cyclical. It always comes around like that. I agree with you. And yeah, I kind of just like, I can be playful about Addison Rae and Charlie. I can be yeah. like, okay, it's not for me, but.
Well, I think there's intent. Like if your intent is just like, you're being silly and you're like, oh, this isn't for me, but you're not,
yeah,
you know, you're not trashing and trying to embarrass or humiliate. No. Like, 'cause right. even in the show, they showed like interviews where they were like, you know, you saw Carson Daly who was in his yeah. 30s at that point,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
a lot of those VJs, which like I always wanted to be a VJ, but like people were fucking rude and like would say things that were rude. And so I don't know. I do think that there's been a shift and I try and be very mindful, but I only have that perspective because like I was the fan back then.
No, you're, I think you're definitely onto something. And I think it was very interesting to watch how it was handled in the show. If you want to watch any episode, maybe watch that. That's from season 2. And then immediately after she has to call into TRL really to like apologize almost, or to explain herself in front of the audience who's all just like staring at each other. And then she has to go right back on stage for the Radio Music Awards for a performance where, see, I thought this was clever, but I realized like it did not have the same impact. She fakes out her intro. Just like
yeah.
what happened on SNL, which is fun, but nobody.
But no one.
It wasn't
yeah.
the same impact at all. People did not forgive her, essentially. And I wish that moment had a bigger impact because that was like fun, actually, that she shook it off and played with that and like kept it moving. But we definitely held it over her head. And it's also just interesting because you can so clearly see in the show and in her performances that she most of the time was singing live, and you know it didn't always sound great, but like clearly she was singing live. It's weird because it was like one incident, in my opinion. It wasn't like she had a track record of constantly singing to track either.
Yeah, and so also too, gotcha. Like, she's not the only one that
no
that happens to. Like I stan Kelly. Kelly had really bad problems with her vocal cords at one point when she was on tour. Yep. Christina yep. had to cancel the stripped summer tour because she had the vocal things. Like Adele has had problems with her vocal. Like it's not this weird thing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just think it was.
Because I think she was seen as a pop product and not as a vocalist, that I think it was kind of like, look, it broke. Like, look, that
yeah.
the toy that we play with broke, rather than like, look, this artist with integrity had vocal nodes, not the same thing. So,
and
I
like
agree.
Rolling Stone trashed the album, and like a lot of the kind of like elite media yeah, outlets yeah. were like never
going to
take her seriously.
You know, if it's considered this like squeaky clean product, even if she's like punky. And so it's easy target to take down. And the problems didn't end there, unfortunately, because later in the season, we head to the Orange Bowl, which was another catastrophe for her. And she goes on after Kelly Clarkson, which iconic lineup. They're watching in the booth. Jessica Simpson is cringing because Kelly Clarkson's audio goes out or her mic goes out. And they're like, oh no, Ashley's next. From the show's stance, she soldiers through, she gets through the performance, it's a miracle she gets through it, she has no in-ears in, it was complete pandemonium on the stage, nobody was hearing each other, and they kind of just keep it moving. But if you watched the performance, or if you watched it on YouTube, you'll know that like there was a deafening roar of boos after her.
Yeah.
Scream! And then yeah. it's just like, a roar of boos.
Honestly, this is like one of the most, I feel like, well-known yeah. moments like that. Like, I don't know what the fucking like Orange Bowl is, but like, I know it because of this.
Yeah, for sure. It was definitely one of those ones like Fergie National Anthem where like people know yeah. about it. And it's unfortunate. And I clearly, as I said earlier, like in the YouTube comments, people still comment on it and drag her. And I mean, it's a performance of Lala. She had to change the lyrics because of the NFL. And it's not her best performance vocally. That's kind of who she was. And she was already overcoming the SNL incident a few months later. And yeah, it's kind of rough. And that is pretty much the abrupt end of the series. Not that abruptly, but, you know, that kind of tied up That yeah, season was not renewed. Yeah. You know, and by the time that was January 2005, by September or so, she already had I Am Me, her second album, out. So it was kind of like, all right, regroup, redo, re-up, still iconic. But yeah, that was kind of it for the autobiography era. And
can I say something? Controversial opinion?
Yes.
I think,
yet brave.
I think she was sabotaged on SNL.
I question how all of it went down, because...
And don't try and say that I have some kind of insight. I know nothing. I've never heard anything through the grapevine about it, but...
I would also say, like, I guess things happen in the moment and you don't even know what's happening and it all goes so fast, and I totally relate to that. But I feel like a stagehand should have just, when she do-si-do'd off the stage, should have just grabbed her and been like, hold on, they're playing the new song. But instead they panic, cut to commercial. It could have been remedied. Like, they just played the wrong song, and it wasn't even... Yeah, I do agree with you. Like, something is off about it, because they just could have hit the right song. Just, yeah. Like, started up again.
It's also, like, if you're gonna, you know, boast about, oh, we're SNL, and no one's allowed to lip sync on here ever again because we're SNL, and it's so famous and it's so prestigious. Okay, then why isn't your fucking person getting, you know, their job right? Like... It's the same way I feel about when someone sold the Mariah Carey audio. When you're working in that industry, that's your job. There's something about it that really pisses me off. Like, I'm really going to come to Ashley's defense with that.
No, like, I agree. And I also think it's kind of, I've always found it infuriating because she performed that song already. So it was like, it doesn't even matter to me that it had the vocals, because it was like, that was clearly the wrong song.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, so they just hit the wrong thing on the CD. It's like, she wasn't supposed to sing that song, but I, you know.
I also have another hot take while we're on them. I also kind of feel like Ashley was a little bit of like a pre-guinea pig before Britney a little bit.
Oh, for sure.
In terms of like the media, like obviously she wasn't as like big as Britney, but a lot of this like things that were happening to her definitely set the stage for like 2005 and 2006. Absolutely. Like, I really feel like this SNL incident opened a floodgate a little bit.
It did. This is all starting to build, and there's like a paparazzi incident in season two as well. And it's starting to, the tides have turned to this place where like it's acceptable to bully this person like out of their career, or like just shame them for like a technical glitch, or it's the beginning of a very mean,
vicious
media, really just general public in general, like what they believe is acceptable to say about somebody.
Yeah.
And to our credit, I guess, as a society, even though Twitter is mean and trolls are everywhere, and they certainly dragged it to hell, Selena's really rough performance where she literally sang off key in her chorus, that in 2004 probably would have been just devastating.
Career ending.
And instead everyone's like, oh, oof, it was a off performance. And yes, there are Twitter trolls with anon avatars who will fucking rip it to shreds, but it's not the same as like front page news. Like, it, you know, it's,
yeah, I do think you can,
it wasn't
recover
celebrated
faster.
Yeah,
like it's a blip and then everyone forgets about it.
And I do think people consider somebody's mental health and just generally who they are more so now than they would then.
Yeah,
nobody cared she was 19. Nobody cared about like what that might have done to her. So I don't know. I feel like we've learned a little bit from it, maybe in some ways. In some ways we haven't, but I think it's a fascinating pop culture phenomenon that is really representative of some of the things that were explored in the past year with Britney and beyond, because of, as I keep calling it, like the punishment not matching the crime with these girls.
Yeah.
Ashley, I felt, put on a brave face, sort of, but like, you can, I mean, she went away from music for quite a long time after the storm, I guess, of her first wave of fame. You know, I would say 2004-5 and then Bittersweet World kind of tied that up nicely. And then she's reintroduced really nicely with her now husband, Evan. But I think that's only a tiptoe. I think that a lot of this really affected her.
I agree. I would assume her first two albums happened so close to each other that it was almost like they just like kind of rushed her through.
Yes. No. And I think that was kind of similar to like Britney's cycles and like the pop girl cycles then, of like every year was like an album, which is crazy.
But I will say though, like after she went through this whole thing, I definitely like went harder like on the second album. I was
like, absolutely. Yeah.
Like as a fan, it made me dig in deeper as like, okay, now I'm going to really stan you because like, like same with Britney, like, and like everyone, like watching the media go through like whatever it was they were trying to trash them for, it made me dig in more as a fan. I mean, hello, like my first Twitter handle was a Ashley Simpson lyric. I can't run from it. The girls know.
No, absolutely. And I do think that there's something to be said about the fact that she just kept going, even if it was just part of the machine or otherwise, it was inspiring to see that. And frankly, she has the last laugh. She's married into the Ross family. Fucking Diana Ross is her stepmom now. Or not, it's mom-in-law.
She's an icon. She's a legend, and she is the moment.
Mom-in-law, not stepmom. And so now she's got, like, she's part of American royalty.
Yeah, yeah, and, literally.
And, I mean, it's pretty cool. And, yeah.
And we're here talking about her first album, like, almost 20 years later.
Exactly. So there's something to be said about that. And she's part of a really interesting phenomenon of reality TV and fame. And she, like you said, set the blueprint, the groundwork for paparazzi culture that bubbled up around Britney. Because I think Chaotic was an immediate, you know, offshoot of something like this.
Yeah.
Newlyweds, Ashley Simpson show, Chaotic was totally of that vibe.
Inspired by that, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Final thoughts on Autobiography.
Final thoughts. I mean, I love this album so much. It brings me so much joy. It's like just, I love the songs. I love the bridges. I love singing them. The moment in time was iconic. I don't know. I also think too, like this era of whatever also kind of like set my perspective for my own career in a way. Like if people are like, oh, well, aren't you media? Like, cause I talk about like, oh, the media did this or the media did this. And someone could easily just turn around and be like, well, you work in media. So like, aren't you part of the problem? And I feel like even in our friendship, cause like you do writing and like we are in similar fields, I feel like we've both shared similar mindset of like, we remember what it was like when hosts and TV shows and magazines and whatever back then talked about these people this way. And as we move into like different positions in our career, always trying to be mindful of like, okay, if you're going to make that joke or like whatever, it's always stuck in the back of my mind, this era and like these things. When I think about Ashley on SNL, it reminds me of like, you know, when I'm on set and I see someone with like lipstick on their teeth, or I notice that someone's mic is like clicking on their earring, or I don't, just like anything, or like I notice a photo needs like a little bit of touching up, or like a shadow is something is living in the shadow. I don't know. I feel like seeing these things shaped who I am as a creator in the fields, it makes me like protective of my faves. I don't know. Does that make sense? Like,
it does make
sense. Not that I'm perfect. Completely. I'm like, obviously, like I've had my moments where I've like, you know, I had fun shading Christina because like the fighters were so pressed on Twitter, but like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I try and not just completely be like the media, even though we say it all the time because we are in the media.
Yeah.
And also, it's not to say that the general public is innocent or not at fault when really it fuels the flame. I think that revisiting the show really just reminds me of how far we've come and how far we haven't come with the way that we treat people. It's the same but different in some ways, but it is better in others. And I'm definitely conscious of the fact, especially I think just getting older and like seeing her say, hi, I'm Ashley, I'm 19, just really hit me from the get-go because it didn't at that time, because we were too. So to really hear her say that, and any judgment or making fun of or whatever at that time that our friends did or that we felt, it's like so much different now looking back, because I'm like, that was a little girl just like us in high school or just out of high school who didn't know nothing about anything. And yeah, it's really like imagining people being that mean to Billie Eilish now and being like, oh my God, she's a baby. So it's definitely interesting to look back and just be like, wow. Like the world looks so different from up here at, you know, in our 30s versus watching that in our teens and just the mindset.
So well, I can also understand, you know, like when we talk about like TikTok people and it's kind of like, okay, you know, is the general public going to take them seriously as like a singer or whatever? And I can look at like their fans and understand why they are obsessed with that person because I'm like, that was me at one point.
Yeah, it's really hard to get over the hump, but I think it will help people in the long run if they surrender to that because...
Yeah, just surrender.
Because it's the inevitable circle of life that the faves will continue to get younger and younger and they will continue to be branded as brand new. And you're looking at Addison and you're like, I mean, frankly, it's sort of like Selena Gomez, who is just the generation before Britney.
I was so mean about Selena Gomez. I can't hide from it.
Oh, but like
at first,
it's because we had Britney, and then it's just like the people at that were in their 30s when she came out were like, hello, Janet. And it's just and Madonna. And it's always going to be like, there was somebody before this who did this 10 times better in their eyes or in your eyes. And that will never change my opinion that like Britney outsold, outdanced, whatever was a legend. But like,
well, facts.
Right. Well, it is just
it is a cycle of life, but there are also facts.
Right, right. We have eyes. But also, it's just going to, your frame of reference is always going to be like for your generation. And it's just, if you can break out of that, at least to understand it, it's going to help you be less of a psychotic asshole online to just be like, okay, the teens grew up with these TikTokers and that is their Britney and that is their Christina for better or worse. This is their reality. This is their 17-year-olds. And so, yeah, it was cool to revisit what one of our many faves was at that time and to have those feelings come back. And those slight little pangs of, like, jealousy or coolness or something. Like, even how cheesy it looks now, you're just like, oh, she's cool for that or something. You're like,
the
oh,
one,
God.
The frame of the sidekick was like, I just remember, like, I was only allowed to have one of the, like, the pay-as-you-go texts. And I was like, I saw the sidekick and I was like, oh my gosh, I remember I used to see people and be like, they are so fucking cool. I want to be up there. I want to do that.
That scene gave me a pang of like, because that was such a status symbol then of being cool.
Yeah.
It's so funny. It's just ingrained in our brains. But yeah, I recommend it to anyone who did grow up during that time. But even if you're younger, it would be really fascinating to watch like what was considered cool then. And if you're older, it's like a reminder of it's a very embarrassing reminder in many cases of where we came from. Similarly, if you watch MTV Next, that is like what I can't believe that aired. Anyway, we're getting off topic, but in any case, I'm happy that we finally dove into autobiography. I'm now going to have to go ahead and get it on vinyl. I don't have it yet, but
it's really good.
Yes.
It looks so good in like the bigger print.
And I think there will be another, you know, in 2 or 3 years, when we have that 20 years of Ashley autobiography moment, I think people will consider it differently.
I think so too.
I think there'll be a certain revisitation or respect for the fact that like she helped pioneer the rock pop moment of that moment with Lindsay and Hillary for sure.
Yeah. And I do also think people will start to have the conversation about the lip syncing and booing and stuff.
Yep. Yep.
Because I'm not going to drop names because that's unfair, but like there are plenty of people, big names within the past 3 months who have lip sang on some big award shows and not a single person bat an eyelash. That was not a reference to Billie, by the way. That was not supposed to be like a pun. Yes. I'm not talking about her. And like,
I know.
I do not give a shit. It's like, I don't care. It's entertainment.
We established this on the Britney Bitch podcast, but like, I want a show.
Yeah.
And if you want to give it to me live, good. And if you want to do lip sync because you're going to dance, you're going to do some sort of performance, good. It doesn't matter.
I don't
to
care.
Me.
I literally do not
I
care.
I don't care. Ugh. But that is just sort of a mindset that it's different between people.
Yeah.
Some people require it. We are not those people.
No. If I get it, I like it.
Oh, of course.
Like on Femme Fatale tour when everyone was like, oh my God, she's singing. Oh, yeah. It's like, oh,
sure, I will live that fantasy and I will accept
yes.
it.
But like, otherwise, I don't care. I'm not going to like cancel someone because they lip sang.
No. But in any case, I think that will be a discussion that will happen again in a few years when this gets a 20th anniversary re-up. But
Yeah.
We would like to know, you can submit your thoughts on our Patreon at patreon.com/legendsonly. Chat with us when this drops. We're going to talk about the album, talk about the show. Let us know your favorite tracks on the album.
Yeah, we'll make a channel.
We'll do a channel. We'll do a whole deep dive channel. And let us know if you don't know. We have a Patreon, so go to patreon.com/legendsonly. And we want to hear your autobiographies. And if you didn't know, this is one of a series of deep dives that we have done. We've also gone into Carly Rae Jepsen, Hilary Duff.
And let us know your thoughts. What are your favorite songs from this album? You can find us on Twitter at @legendsonly_pod, as well as Instagram, @legendsonly_pod. And we have a couple other deep dives. We did Madonna's Confessions. On our Patreon, we went into Emotion by Carly Rae Jepsen. We talked about Bionic. And fun little announcement kind of here. We're going to try to start doing a monthly deep dive where we go back every single month. We pick an album that we love. So tweet us, DM us, comment, let us know. What do you guys want us to get into next? I have some thoughts about like what I kind of want to get into. Like,
oh, I have thoughts.
You.
The people have thoughts.
Me feel like I'm living the kind of. Or also, oh, Nana, what's my name? I really want to talk about. And eventually, I feel like we're going to have to talk about I Am Me after this.
It's true. Let's keep the Ashley coming.
Yeah. Oh, such a good album.
Which in some way is more freeing because we get past the hump of all of this drama.
Yeah.
Well, there's different drama, but it's a love triangle of the ages.
Tried to run away with the gypsy. Oh, that's a different, yeah, but like kind of, it's all connected. That's the point. So yeah, that is Ashley Simpson's autobiography. Stream now, buy it on iTunes or buy it on vinyl at Urban Outfitters, not sponsored. Thank you guys for listening. Tweet us a journal emoji if you made it this far. A little autobiography.
Yes, emoji. The little pencil against the paper emoji.
Yeah, basically the pencil that drew the album track listing on the back.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you can also check out our Speak Deep Dive. I forgot about that. We already talked about her on a little deep dive, but...
It's true.
2004, what an iconic year.
Which means we'll have to break away soon.
Oh, that's right.
Definitely.
We should have done like a chronological thing, but like at this point, what is time?
What is time?
Breathe On Me, into Better Off, into Rumors, and then Breaking Away, and then Getting Chaotic, and then it's Britney Bitch, into Bad Romance.
You know what? We'll There's get there. And somebody will put them into a playlist for us because we're not great with time.
Oh, yeah, we should do that. All right. Well, and Ashley, if you're listening, we fucking stan. But you're not listening. You're busy with your
She's
con man.
Listening. Yeah, that's true. But and we actually do. I genuinely love the new music. So keep going. And honestly, if the duo keeps going or inspires you to go solo again, we would love that.
Yeah. What would she sing about? Because, I mean, all her stuff is mostly about like love and heartbreak. And I don't want them to break up.
No, but maybe she's got some worldly wisdoms about the industry of the past 20 years or like experiences she's had.
I know. I bet there's a good song about SNL in there somewhere.
Honestly.
In that notebook, that binder that her friend almost threw out.
Wagging lips. Lips are moving.
Yeah. All right, everyone. Right. Well, thank you for tuning in for this deep dive. And thank you for your support. And until next time, we will
see you
soon. Hey, so have you subscribed today?
Makes me wanna subscribe.
I can't believe you said that La La is your favorite song on this album. It is absolutely easily. Not. It's the worst song on this album. Nothing New is a fucking bop. Should have been a single. Anyway.
Oh.
All right, time to give it all away and hang up. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.